light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. Amma ba'd fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is very beautifully reported to have said, the one who recites durood, salutation, salawat, salam, once upon me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayka, ya Sayyidi, ya Habibi, ya Rasulullah, sallallahu ala Muhammad, in nurin min nurillah. Marhaba, marhaba, marhaba. Khushamdeed, welcome to one and all to a beautiful episode of this series, The Light of Guidance on Madani Channel. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah. For those that watch us often, you do know that in this beautiful series, we discuss some various topics pertaining to Islam, to the Light of Guidance, because Light of Guidance refers to the beautiful religion of Islam, for indeed, it is the path and the way and the Light of Guidance. The one who follows Islam, he is on the straight path, and the one who deviates from the teachings of Islam, then he is definitely misguided. We make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm on the teachings of Islam, may Allah ta'ala keep us firm on the teachings of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbil Alameen, mashallah. With me today, once again, I have our very honorable and wonderful guest, Mulana Asim Madani Sahib, who joins us frequently on our silsila. For those that have been watching us, you do know that, mashallah, he is with us, and very beautifully he shares some beautiful words of wisdom with us. Munasab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Shukr for Almighty Allah.
Munasab, once again, he is with us, and today we are going to be discussing a beautiful personality, a personality who is a categorical jannati, means a definite jannati, a personality who has the proximity and the closeness to the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, a personality whose name comes on the top of the list amongst the names of the Sahaba Ikram and the greatest people after the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, a personality who, subhanallah, is also the Mubarak and blessed son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a personality who is an embodiment of haya, and a personality who is an ardent devotee and a lover of the Holy Quran, the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many beautiful qualities, and besides this, many more in this personality. Today we are going to be discussing the third Khalifa of Islam, Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani, Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah, subhanallah, a wonderful personality, and we are in the times of fitna and fasad, where unfortunately people are insulting and criticizing the Sahaba Ikram alayhimur ridwan, and in the list of those Sahaba Ikram who are targets of insults, unfortunately this great Sahabi is also on the list of these filthy and bad-mouthed people. We make dua, may Allah Ta'ala protect us from such filthy people. May Allah Ta'ala protect our aqidah and keep us firm and keep us in the love of the Sahaba Ikram and the Ahl Bayt Athar. So it is necessary, I feel it is necessary upon us to make the zikr and to mention this beautiful personality, mention his qualities, mention his beautiful attributes, mention his distinctive qualities, mention the closeness he had to these other Sahaba Ikram, to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mention his rank in the court of Allah and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we may put a stamp at the end of the paper which says that these are the people upon whom we will never ever compromise. We never compromised, we are not compromising, and we will never compromise. on these beautiful people, inshallah. So, inshallah, be with us for the entire discussion. We are going to learn about a beautiful personality who is definitely a beloved of Allah and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, it is mentioned that in the dhikr salihin, when the mentioning, when the zikr, when the remembrance of the pious people, the pious predecessors, when they are being remembered, then the special mercy of Allah Ta'ala descends. So inshallah, you will be attaining the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be with us inshallah for the entire discussion. Sit back, relax, and enjoy inshallah. Make the intention that today I'm going to learn about this wonderful personality. Inshallah, this will increase his love in my heart. And inshallah azza wa jal, it will increase my belief, my aqeedah inshallah azza wa jal, regarding him first and foremost, and obviously regarding all the sahaba ikram of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah azza wa jal, it will also protect my iman, my aqeedah, my heart, my belief system from the corrupt beliefs of the corrupted people. Inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. Mullah Sahib, coming towards you, we do know that Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the beautiful son-in-law and wonderful son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, with him, Sayyidina Ali is also the wonderful son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the titles of Sayyidina Usman Ghani is Zun-Nurain, the possessor of two noors. And we do know that this is linked because of his nikah to the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you can maybe elaborate on this specifically, inshallah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Indeed, Hazrat Usman Ghani, Khalifa Thalis, Damad-e Rasul radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, is a great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And since he embraced Islam, he spent his entire life in the love of Allah and in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was so beloved to Almighty Allah that Almighty Allah commanded his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get his both the daughters, Sayyidatuna Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha and Sayyidatuna Umme Kulsum radiallahu ta'ala anha, get married to Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This was the command of Almighty Allah. Therefore, angels of Almighty Allah would call her to Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu the Noorain. So this was one of the great titles of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this was one of the greatest attributes and the qualities of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, "I love Usman, Allah loves Usman, and Usman loves me and Almighty Allah." He was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to Hazrat Umme Kulsum radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Fatima's husband, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Shere Huda karramallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem, is greater than my husband." Then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, "I have got you married to such a personality who is beloved to me, who is beloved to Almighty Allah, and we are beloved to him. And on the day of judgment, when you will enter paradise, you will see the status and the rank of Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then you will realize that Almighty Allah has granted him such a great rank that no one else will get that rank and get that status." So Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the third Khalifa of Islam, and even in the number of greatness, he is third. The first Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, who is the greatest after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala, and then Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. And we believe that since they are the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as you have already mentioned, that each and every Sahabi is a definite Jannati. They are Jannati, and we believe that these great personalities are going to help us on the Day of Judgment. These great personalities are going to intercede for us on the Day of Judgment. I would like to mention a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the beginning of our discussion, which will elaborate more the status and the rank of these companions. In fact, this hadith is going to mention the status of all four Khulafa'i Rashideen, Khulafa'i Arba, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani, and Sayyidina Ali Mawla'i Kainat radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that Nabi Akram Nure Mujassam Shahi Bani Adam sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, when the Day of Judgment will come. And remember that the very first day of the judgment will be equal to 50,000 years. Sun will be just few miles away from the people. The earth will be made of copper. There will be severe heat and people will be very thirsty. They will be sweating. And at that time, they will be looking for helpers. At that time, they will be looking for intercessors. So, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has already told us that who will help you on that day? Allahu Akbar. Listen to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that when the Day of Judgment will come, a announcement will be made. Where is Abu Bakr? Then the first caliph, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, who will come forward. He will be stationed at the gate of paradise, gate of Jannah. Then a command will be given to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. What command? Let whom you wish enter paradise and prevent whom you wish. Then the announcer will proclaim again, where is Umar? The second caliph, Hazrat Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala, who will come forward, he will be stationed beside the scale of deeds. A command will be given to Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala, that make the scales heavy for whom you wish, and make them light for whom you wish. Then a third announcement will be made, where is Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu? The third caliph, Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, will come forward. He will be given a stick and stationed near the fountain of Kawthar. Then a command will be given to him that give drink to whom you wish from the fountain of Kawthar, and let whom you wish return thirsty. Then a fourth announcement will be made. Where is Ali al-Murtada? Karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. The fourth caliph, Sayyidina Ali Shere Khuda, Karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, the Lion of Allah, will come forward. He will be adorned with a bright Nurani garment. And then Almighty Allah will say that, O Ali, since the day I created the heavens and the earth, I have preserved this garment specially for you. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, try to imagine for a while. The day when the sun will be just 1 mile and quarter away from us. And people will be looking for the helpers. And you have heard the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that these people will help you. Obviously, the door of intercession will be opened by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And obviously, the believers will be supported, believers will be interceded, believers will be helped. And especially those who love the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those people who will be thirsty at that time, where will they go to? They will go to Abu Kawthar to, you know, drink the water from Abu Kawthar, from the fountain of Kawthar. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that who will serve you there? Obviously, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be there. In fact, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be blessing the ulama of his ummah, and he will give them the water of Kawthar with his own blessed hands. He will be there. But then who else will be there to serve the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and those who love him, those who believe that the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are definite jannati, and they love each and every companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they will reach to the fountain of Kawthar, Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu will welcome them, and Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu will grant them the drink from the fountain of Kawthar with his own blessed hand. And tell me, the one who will be honored with this great honor, that the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is blessing him with Abu Kawthar, what will be his destination then? Obviously, he is going to enter Jannah. And after drinking water from Abu Kawthar, where will they go? They will go to the scale of deeds, where the a'mal, where the deeds will be scaled. And there even they will find a helper. When they will reach there, Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala will already be there to help them. But remember, this help will only be for those who love Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala. Not only him, but they love each and every sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they love Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala, but at the same time they have the grudge and enmity for any of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu is not going to help them. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu is not going to help them. None of the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will help them on the day of judgment. Anyway, if you love each and every companion and you love Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is not going to forget you. He will be there to help you out. When the believers, when the devotees of Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu will reach to the scale of deeds, he will be there to help out. So even if our deeds are few, our good deeds are few, we hope, since we love Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we are the devotees of Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we hope that he will make the scale of our deeds heavy and he will help us to enter paradise, inshallah. And then after that, where will the people go? Now they will proceed to Jannah. They have drank the water of Abu Kawthar with the blessed hand of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now Hazrat Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu has also helped them. Now they will proceed to Jannah. And when they will proceed to Jannah and they will reach by the gates of paradise, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu will be there to help them. He will be there to welcome them. He will be there to open the gates of Jannah for them. And then he will have the authority to allow whoever he wants to allow. He will have the authority to prevent whom he would like to prevent. So now, if you are the devotee of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, who you love him, then obviously he will open the door of paradise for you. You will enter paradise. And if you don't love him, or if you don't love any of the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the door of Jannah will be closed for you. So meaning, these personalities will be appointed on these great places. Abu Kawthar, I mean the fountain of Abu Kawthar, a scale of deeds, and then the gates of Jannah. So, alhamdulillah, we hope that We all are the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, devotees of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And due to the blessings of the love of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are going to receive all these blessings, inshallah, from these great personalities.
Inshallah. Subhanallah. That's why it is so important to love and respect all of these beautiful companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the hatred against anyone, even if it's one, then that can be a downfall, and it will be a downfall for you in this world and the hereafter as well. Alhamdulillah, as soon as we are very firm on this matter, that we love and respect every sahabi of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We will inshallah take a short break now and listen to a beautiful kalam, and as soon as we return, we will carry on our discussion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
پیارے اسلامی بھائیوں اور مدنی چینل کے ناظرین، الحمدللہ عزوجل بچپن میں جو مجھے یاد پڑتا ہے، زندگی میں سب سے پہلے اگر میں نے کوئی نعت پڑھی تھی تو وہ یہی نعت تھی جو آج میں آپ کے سامنے ایک بار پھر پیش کر رہا ہوں۔ کس طرح پاؤں رکھے یا صاحب بصیرت، کس طرح پاؤں رکھے یا صاحب بصیرت، آنکھیں بچھی ہوئی ہیں ہر جا تیری گلی میں، دنیا تیری گلی میں، عقبا تیری گلی میں، عقبا تیری گلی میں۔
بابا کہاں چلے؟
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ چلا لرزیدہ نظر شرمندہ بدن لرزیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
کسی کے ہاتھ نے مجھ کو سہارا دے دیا ورنہ، کسی کے ہاتھ نے مجھ کو سہارا دے دیا ورنہ، کہاں میں اور کہاں یہ راستے پیچیدہ، کہاں میں اور کہاں یہ راستے پیچیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
کہاں میں اور کہاں اس روز
روضائے اقدس کا نظارہ، کہاں میں اور کہاں اس روضائے اقدس کا نظارہ، نظر اس سمت اٹھتی ہے مگر دزدیدہ، نظر اس سمت اٹھتی ہے مگر دزدیدہ،
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
مدینے جا کے ہم سمجھے تقدس کس کو کہتے ہیں، مدینے جا کے ہم سمجھے تقدس کس کو کہتے ہیں، ہوا پاکیزہ فضا سنجیدہ، ہوا پاکیزہ فضا سنجیدہ،
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
بصارت کھو گئی لیکن بصیرت تو سلامت ہے، بصارت کھو گئی لیکن بصیرت تو سلامت ہے، مدینہ ہم نے دیکھا ہے مگر نادیدہ، مدینہ ہم نے دیکھا ہے مگر نادیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ،
وہی اقبال جس کو ناز تھا کل خوش مزاجی پر، وہی اقبال جس کو ناز تھا کل خوش مزاجی پر، فراق طیبہ میں رہتا ہے اب رنجیدہ، فراق طیبہ میں رہتا ہے اب رنجیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
صلی علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ, مرحبا, ویلکم بیک ٹو آور سلسلہ. یو آر واچنگ دی لائٹ آف گائیڈنس, اینڈ ونس اگین الحمدللہ آئی ایم پریزنٹ ہیئر وتھ آور بیوٹیفل گیسٹ ناصر مدنی صاحب. اینڈ ٹوڈے وی آر ڈسکسنگ دس پرسنالٹی, داماد رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, دی سن ان لا آف نبی صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم, ہو ہیڈ دی پریولیج آف میکنگ نکاح ٹو ٹو مبارک اینڈ بلیسڈ ڈاٹرز آف نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. اینڈ یو نو, منانا صاحب واز مینشننگ بیفور دا بریک دیٹ دی اینجلز یوز ٹو کال سیدنا عثمان غنی از ذو النورین, دی پوزیسر آف ٹو نورز, دا ون ہو ہیز ٹو نورز. اینڈ اٹ از آلسو مینشنڈ دیٹ ان دس کوالٹی آف میکنگ نکاح ٹو ٹو ڈاٹرز آف اے نبی, سیدنا عثمان غنی از ڈسٹنکٹو. ان ادر ورڈز, ان دا انٹائر کریشن فرام آدم علیہ السلام and until Qiyamah, there wasn't anyone, there is no one, and there will never ever be anyone who made nikah to two daughters of one Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is only the quality of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, that he made nikah to two daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it also comes in narrations when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that, "Oh Uthman, even if I had 100 daughters, then I would give them all in your nikah one after the other." So this is the amount of love, the amount of respect, the amount of attachment Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to this great sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, you know, whenever in today's time, if you have to look at as an example, you know, if we want to get our daughter married to someone, then we check the person, you know, what does the person do, what is his habits, who are his parents, how is the family, what is the house life like. You know, we do lots of investigations, where is he working, when he is working, what place is he working at, the environment there where he studied. Basically, we check the person in and out, if the person is fit for our daughter. And everyone does that, you know. No one would want to give their daughter in the hands of someone who is a corrupted person, in the hands of someone who is messed up, in the hands of someone, you know, who will make your daughter's life miserable. That is our mentality when we are looking for a perfect husband for our daughter. And if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has chosen Sayyidina Uthman Ghani not for one daughter but for two of his daughters, then how excellent would he be, how beautiful his qualities would be, that the best of creation sallallahu alaihi wasallam has chosen him for his mubarak and blessed daughters. I mean, this quality alone is enough to prove his excellence and his great status in the court of Allah and the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. Munasab, beautifully before the break you should mention to us a beautiful hadith which is pertaining to the Khulafa'i Arba'ah, the four great Khalifas of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and particularly in the Day of Judgment, how we will be in need of these personalities. I don't want to go into lots of detail, Munasab, regarding the lifestyle of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani. Many of us have heard in the past regarding his beautiful qualities, his beautiful attributes, his love for the Holy Quran and so on. Maybe in the last few minutes which we have, if you could maybe share with us some words of wisdom of Sayyidina, because he was a very wise person as well. So any words of wisdom from Sayyidina Uthman Ghani.
Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I found the sweetness of the ibadat, worship for my to your line, four things. You know, many people, they say that we perform salah, but we don't feel connected. We don't, you know, feel the sweetness of performing salah. Mm. We don't feel the sweetness of sajdas, qiyam, ruku. Mm. Then unfortunately, some people, you know, they leave performing salah, and if you ask them that, why have you left performing salah? So he says that, what's the point of performing if I don't feel the sweetness of the ibadat? Mm. That's a whisper of shaitan, actually. Whether you feel the sweetness of the ibadat or you don't feel, you will have to perform salah in any case. But how will you attain this sweetness? Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu has given you the answer of your question. He has solved your problem. He says that I found the sweetness in four things. Fi ada'i fara'idillah. In fulfilling the obligations of Allah. those things which have been made obligatory, necessary by your Almighty Allah. If we talk about the farais, I will discuss the other three as well, but I want to discuss more on this point. He says that I felt the sweetness of the ibadat of Almighty Allah in the obligations of Almighty Allah. There are a lot of things which have been made obligatory upon the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some obligations are general, which are for everyone, like namaz, salah. It is farz upon every aqil, baligh, every sane, mature, intellectual person. It is farz, obligatory. Roza, siyam, fast. It is also farz upon every aqil, baligh person. But zakat is not farz upon every Muslim. Hajj is not farz upon every Muslim. Zakat becomes farz if the certain conditions are fulfilled. Hajj becomes farz if certain conditions are fulfilled. Likewise, you know, some other rulings of Sharia, like, you know, the rulings of trade becomes necessary upon that person who is doing business. Rulings of employment become necessary upon that person who is employed by someone. Rulings regarding the employer become necessary upon that person who employs someone. Likewise, rulings regarding nikah become necessary to learn upon that person who is going to marry. Talaq. I just give few examples actually. So there are certain rulings which are necessary upon each and everyone, and certain rulings which are not necessary upon each and everyone, but when the conditions are fulfilled, they become necessary. These ahkamat are known as obligations, faraid. Unfortunately, our problem is this, that we don't know what has become farz upon me. Acting upon the obligations, that is the second thing. First thing is to know that what has become farz upon me. People don't know that when zakat becomes farz upon them. People don't know when hajj becomes farz upon them. And if for example, they come to know that hajj has become farz upon them, then they keep giving excuses, making excuses. And they say that, no, we'll try to perform next year. We'll try to go next year. They give a lot of charity. They help the poor. They distribute food, hampers, in the month of Ramadan. But they don't give zakat, because they think that this is enough. Whatever charity I have given, my zakat is paid. But they were supposed to learn the proper method of giving zakat from ulama-i kiram. So this is the problem of our society. People, they don't want to learn actually. A businessman, his main focus will be his business. His main focus will be to increase his income. His main focus will be to increase his business, but he will not be worried about halal and haram. He is not worried about his way of earning, whether his way of earning is halal or haram. So now tell me, if a person does not fulfill the commands of Allah, does not fulfill the obligations of Allah, does not perform salah, and he, you know, says that I don't feel the sweetness of the ibadat. Maybe he performs a nawafil throughout the night, and then he complains that I don't feel the sweetness of ibadat. When he doesn't perform Fajr Salah, when he doesn't perform Zuhur Salah, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, you might have noticed that when Shab-e Barat comes, when Laylatul Qadr comes, Laylatul Jaiza comes, many other big nights come, people do ask you, Maulana Sahib, which Nawafil must we perform on this night? They do ask. But if you ask them, have you performed today's Isha Salah or not? So they might say no. Likewise, you know, you will see people having Yasin Sharif at home. They recite Yasin Sharif to attain blessings. But if you ask them that, did you perform Fajr today? They will say, they might say, no, we didn't perform. So they don't worry about the obligations. They are busy performing the nawafil. They are busy giving nafli charity. So that's fine. We don't blame them that what they are doing is wrong. No, that is 100% right. But farz comes first. Then wajib comes, then sunnah comes, then nafil comes after that. So if a person does not perform salah and he gives charity, he does a lot of other welfare work, and then he sees that, Mulana Sahib, I do a lot of good things, but I don't feel the sweetness of the ibadat. I do a lot of things, but I always go through calamities, difficulties, hurdles, hardships, illnesses. When, sometimes his father is sick, and by the time when his father recovers, his daughter becomes sick. By the time his daughter recovers from sickness, he himself becomes sick. When he recovers, then some other problem comes. When that problem is solved, then, there is some problem in his business, in his job. So people, they complain that we do a lot of good things, but still, we don't see blessings. We don't see barakat. We always go through these difficulties, calamities, hurdles. But the question is that, do you fulfill the obligations of Allah? Mm-hmm. Obligation is not only salah. It's not only zakah. The rights of parents. Mm-hmm. The rights of your children. The rights of your wife. The rights of your neighbors. Maybe when you go to the market, people will call you Haji Sahab. But the same Haji Sahab has made the life of his neighbors miserable. The same Haji Sahab, when he goes home, he is like the Pharaoh of the time. He doesn't take care of the rights of his children. He screams, he shouts them, he hits them. So now, when you don't fulfill the obligations of Almighty Allah, how will the blessings will come in your rizq? How will the barakat will come in your sustenance? When your earning is not halal, did you ever go to a Mufti Sahab and investigate your business? Did you tell Mufti Sahab to investigate your business? Did you ever check your business with, Mufti Sahab or Maulana Sahib? Because you don't worry about that. So, Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I felt the sweetness of the ibadat of Almighty Allah in four things. And the very first thing is the faraid. Faraid. If a person fulfills the faraid, then he will feel the sweetness in sajdas. Then he will feel the sweetness of the ibadat in nawafil as well. Then he will feel the sweetness of the ibadat of Almighty Allah in giving charity as well. Then he will feel and attain the sweetness of the ibadat of Almighty Allah in each and every good action he performs. The faraid come first. Nawafil comes after that. If you don't perform nawafil, you are not going to be questioned on the day of judgment. But if you don't fulfill the obligations, you will have to stand for accountability. You will be questioned about your salah. You will be questioned about your zakah. You will be questioned about hajj, rights, hukuk, many other things. Whatever is necessary upon you, first of all, you go and learn and then start acting upon that. Then only you will attain the sweetness of the ibadat of Almighty Allah. And remember, I would like to quote one more hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says that there are three angels of Almighty Allah. Almighty Allah appointed them. Where? One has been appointed at Ka'batullah. Another one has been appointed at my Masjid, Masjid Nabawi Sharif. And the third one has been appointed at Masjid Aqsa. So what do they do? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the angel who has been appointed at Kaaba, he announces every day. What? He says, من ترك فرائض الله خرج من امان الله. One who abandons, one who leaves the faraid, the obligations of Almighty Allah, خرج من امان الله, he comes out of the protection of Almighty Allah. Tell me, the person who has come out from the protection of Almighty Allah, how will he attain blessings? There is no aman for him. There is no protection for him. So when there is no protection for him, how, you know, his life will be easy for him? How will he have peace in his life? No, never. It is not possible that you don't fulfill the obligations of Almighty Allah and then you expect the protection, the blessings. That is not possible. Then the second angel, which has been appointed at Masjid Nabawi, he makes an announcement every day, Man taraka sunnata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lam yaridil hawda. One who leaves the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will never be able to go to Hawd al-Kawthar. In the beginning, I mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu will be present on Hawd al-Kawthar and he will be there to serve the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will be there to present the drink of the fountain of Kawthar to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this person who doesn't fulfill the obligations of Almighty Allah will not be able to go there, will not be able to reach there. Allah. And the third angel makes the announcement every day, Man kana ta'matuhu haraman kana amaluhu madruban bihi wajhahu. One whose food is haram, whose sustenance is haram, he doesn't care where his food is coming from. His a'mal, his deeds will be struck on his face. Maybe this person will be thinking that I used to perform salah in dunya. Maybe this person will think that I used to give charity. I used to do this, I used to do that. But on the day of judgment, he will have no good deed with him. Why? Because he does not fulfill the obligations of Almighty Allah. I mean, maybe he will think that I used to perform nawafil. But if he did not perform salah every day, all five daily salahs, then his nawafil are not going to help him. Yes, if he is very punctual in salah, he fulfills all the obligations, then his nawafil will help him on the day of judgment. If there is any shortcoming, that shortcoming will be fulfilled with nawafil. Then nawafil will help him. Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says that first act upon the faraiz and wajibat, obligations, then after that start acting upon the sunnahs, then nawafil. And then he says that abandoning the faraiz and remaining busy in sunan and nawafil is foolishness. And ulama-i-kiram, they say that the person who remains busy in performing nawafil and doing nafli ibadat and does not fulfill the obligations of Almighty Allah, it is like that person who has been appointed by the king to serve the king. But he didn't serve the king, rather he started serving his slave. So is he a wise person? He's a foolish man. He was supposed to serve the king, he has started serving his slave. So the way like this person is useless in front of the king, likewise the person who does not fulfill the obligations of Almighty Allah and remains busy doing nafli ibadat is useless in front of Almighty Allah. His nawafil are not going to benefit him. So Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I felt the sweetness of the ibadat of Almighty Allah in four things. One is in fulfilling the faraid of Allah. اینڈ دین اٹ سیز فی اجتنابی محارم اللہ ان ریفرینگ فرام دی فوربیڈن تھنگس وچ ہیو بین فوربیڈن بائی آل مائٹی اللہ وین آئی اسٹاپ مائی سیلف پریوینٹڈ مائی سیلف فرام دی ڈس اوبیڈینس آف آل مائٹی اللہ آئی فیل دی سویٹنس آف دس عبادت. نمبر تھری فی الامر بالمعروف وابتغاء ثواب اللہ ان آرڈرنگ گڈ ٹو انوائٹ پیپل ٹوورڈز رائٹیسنیس ان آرڈر ٹو اٹین دی پلیجر آف آل مائٹی اللہ. اینڈ دین اٹ سیز فی النہی عن المنکر والاتقاء غضب اللہ آئی فیلٹ دی سویٹنس آف دی عبادت آف آل مائٹی اللہ ان پریونٹنگ پیپل فرام ایول ان آرڈر ٹو ریفرین اور پروٹیکٹ مائی سیلف فرام دی پنشمنٹ آف آل مائٹی اللہ. سو دیز فور تھنگز آر دوز تھنگز اف اے پرسن اڈاپٹ اف اے پرسن ایکٹس اپان اف اے پرسن اڈاپٹس اینڈ ایکٹس اپان دیز تھنگز یو ول ڈیفینیٹلی attend the sweetness of the ibadat of Almighty Allah. There is much more to discuss, about other three things which Hazrat Usmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, but I think time will not allow me to mention and discuss all that. But whatever I have discussed regarding the obligations of Almighty Allah, make an intention and try to act upon all those advices.
Inshallah, we make dua that if anyone, everyone does this, acts upon this, then you will see the blessings in this world. Hereafter, Murad Sahib, Jazakallah so much for your wonderful words of wisdom today. We hope that first and foremost myself and our viewers and listeners act upon whatever we have learned today. Remember, instill the love of the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your hearts, in your mind. This love of the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the base of your iman, the base of everything. You have this love by Allah, you have everything. You lose this love by Allah, you lose everything. We hope to see you inshallah in our next episode of the Light of Guidance. Till then, be positive, think positive, stay positive. Remain positive. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance.